Boxing is not without its moral ambiguities, so writes George Kimball in his introduction to a new book titled At the Fights, American Writers on Boxing. Perhaps those moral ambiguities are in part responsible for boxing having generated some of the most worthy writing connected to a sport. George Kimball and his co-editor John Shulian have collected a lot of that worthy writing in At the Fights, and they join me now, John Shulian from KPCC in Pasadena. John, welcome back to Only a Game.
Thank you, Bill. It's good to be here.
And George Kimball is on the line. George, thank you for joining us, despite the fact that you're having problems with your voice.
Hi, Bill. How are you doing?
Okay, thank you. Let's start at the top, or at least what I consider the top. George, I assume that you and John began the process of collecting these stories by saying something like, okay, W.C. Hines on Bummy Davis, John Lardner on Stanley Ketchel, and A.J. Liebling on Jack Kearns. Now, who else? Am I right?
Well, you're close. This thing was like a jigsaw puzzle. You know, there are certain historical things that need to be covered. So you didn't want to end up with, for instance, four pieces on Sonny Liston and none on Sugar Ray Robinson.
And I think one of our other guiding principles was we wanted pieces that emphasized the humanity in boxing and the great people and the great characters. There's really no other sport like it. It's full of fighters who've been in and out of jail and promoters who should be in jail for life and cut men and trainers, and they're all so beautiful. It seems odd to say that there's more honesty in boxing than there is in any other sport when you think of all the flim-flamming that gets done, but there really is more honesty in boxing. If you ask a fighter about how he wound up in jail, most likely he's going to tell you. And once you get them in the ring, that, of course, is the ultimate truth of boxing.
One of the features of this collection is the variety apparent in the selection. Some of the stories are about famous fighters in famous fights, Ali Frazier, Liston Patterson, Louis Schmeling. But some of the stories are about boxers most people will not know. And, John, your essay titled Nowhere to Run presents one of the latter. Tell us a little bit about what led you to write about Johnny Bratton.
Well, he was sort of ghosting his way through Chicago. He had been a welterweight champion in the 50s. He was known as Honey Boy. And I used to talk a lot with Ben Bentley, who was a great old fight guy and a PR man in Chicago. And he kept telling me about how Johnny Bratton was bumming money on the streets. And then I heard that Bratton was sleeping in an old hotel on the south side of Chicago, a place that had once been quite regal. American League teams had stayed there in the 30s, 40s, and 50s, and now was really on hard times. I went to the hotel, couldn't find him at the hotel, and then Bentley took me up to Rush Street one day and met him, and that was where Bratton was hustling money.
George, in the essay you wrote about the 1987 fight between Marvin Hagler and Ray Leonard, you include a passage that reads, "You think you remember Goody Petronelli in the corner repeatedly dispatching advice to Hagler, rough him up inside, but it dawns on you later that you couldn't possibly have heard that at ringside. Hagler's corner was clear across the ring, so the memory is a faulty one." Did you find you were at all reluctant to acknowledge that the memory was a faulty one?
No, I think, in honesty, what must have happened is that I had watched the tape of the fight so many times that I've sort of conflated it in my mind that I had actually heard it. It was really much later that I came to reflect on that and say, I couldn't have heard that. That piece, of course, was written for a magazine a couple years after the fight. In sitting there and reconstructing what I remembered, I found myself remembering things that I couldn't have remembered.
John, you begin your introduction to At the Fights with the assertion that boxing, quote, is the best friend a writer ever had. How so?
It's almost like writing fiction. And certainly you're being fed fiction in a lot of times when a promoter is telling you this guy's going to be the next great heavyweight. You know, we're still waiting for that heavyweight, by the way. You have the mano a mano of the fight itself, but you have the greed and the backstage manipulations And you have the women and the flash and the dash and all the glamour and clutter and everything. And certainly, George and I have both covered a lot of sports events, the World Series, Super Bowl, Masters, Final Four, on and on like that. There's nothing that matches a big fight for pure electricity.
There's also the element of danger. You know, a guy who blows the 5-shot lead in the Masters isn't going to wind up in a coma in the hospital.
Yeah, you know, George and I have both seen guys really hurt badly, and that always does hang over the thing. I remember a great quote from Davy Moore, who was mortally injured in a fight, and his last words to Angelo Dundee, who trained the other fighter, was, "Angie, you're going to get me a rematch, ain't you?"
That's one of the many great lines in the book, and another that I'll remember for a long time comes from the title of Bill Nack's essay. The line refers not only to Joe Frazier's loss to Muhammad Ali in 1974 when Frazier's trainer wouldn't let him leave the corner for the 15th round, but to Frazier's long-standing hatred of Ali for viciously taunting and mocking him over the years. So the fight's over, Joe.
Oh, boy, Bill Nack, yeah. That's
a wonderful piece, by the way. I mean, it's very poignant. Look, it's this bitterness that Joe Frazier retains after all these years and three fights against one another that cemented their respective reputations. And here, Joe's still carrying around this chip.
Yeah. The really interesting thing is that they destroyed each other, and by doing so, they gained immortality.
Boxing moves some writers to understatement. Here's Carlo Rotella's presentation of Joe Frazier at a fight. He politely asked the fellow next to him what town he was in. By way of contrast, Norman Mailer writes this, describing a moment during Ali, Foreman, and Zaire. Ali proceeded to hit Foreman with a combination rare as plutonium. John, when the subject is boxing and understatement squares off against overstatement, who wins?
Think of the spare writing of Bill Hines describing Bummy Davis. Tending bar, guys walk in to rob the joint, they all pull guns, and Bill Hines describes this so beautifully and so simply. And then you read Mark Cram's piece about the thrill in Manila, which is a classic. You know, that steps very close to being purple. It's beautiful.
Purple, of course, for those of our listeners who may not be familiar with the term, means somewhat over the top. Is that a fair characterization?
Very definitely, in the case of Mr. Cram, yes.
John Shulian and George Kimball are the co-editors of At the Fights, American Writers on Boxing, published by the Library of America. John Shulian joined me from KPCC in Pasadena. John, thank you very much for speaking with me.
It was my pleasure, Bill.
And George Kimball, it was good to talk to you again. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Bill.
Only a Game is produced by Karen Given and Doug Prabhu. Our technical director is John Ferrati. Our intern is Mark Filippino. Special thanks this week to Allison Shutterbug Littlefield and to Jesse Costa. Thanks also to Jim Richards at UC Berkeley and to Tony Federico at KPCC in Pasadena. Our senior producer is Gary Wallach. To view our magical Harlem Globetrotters video, subscribe to the Only a Game podcast, listen to archived shows and stories, and learn more about our weekly music selections, please visit our website, onlyagame.org. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Only a Game Radio. Our final word comes from 7-year-old Annalise Aminoff, who attended a Harlem Globetrotters event this week. I asked her if she liked basketball.
No, but I do like soccer.
Delightful laugh. Intelligent laugh. I'm Bill Littlefield. Thanks for listening. I'll see you next week.
Support comes from Mini, featuring the 37-mile-per-gallon Mini Cooper with go-kart handling. Learn more at miniusa.com/info. The Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, committed to helping Americans lead healthier lives and get the care they need, on the web at rwjf.org, and the William and Flora Hewlett Foundation, making grants to solve social and environmental problems at home and around the world, on the web at hewlett.org. This is NPR.